Go presents In Defense Of, brought to you by Betfred. Yes, people, welcome to In Defense Of, brought to you by Joe and Betball, with me, Steve-O the Madman. Now, as always, one of my friends is coming over to my gaff to discuss a football topic they feel passionate about. Coming up to the away end today is a guy that goes by the name Majestic, but I know him as plain old Kev. Coming to the stage, my friend, Majestic! Yes, G, you good?
How are we, brother?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
You're looking like Britney Spears with that headset on.
Oh, it's mad, isn't it? Baby. Oops, I've done that again.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, all of that. How you been?
Yeah, good. Good start to the year, apart from Spurs.
I was just going to say that, because you are a passionate Spurs fan, and when Spurs are losing, you're not too Mate, great. That's like me and my West Ham.
I have a Spurs podcast. Yeah. Like, that's how much I love Spurs. And just like the podcast name, same old Spurs. Mm-hmm. It's the same old Spurs at the minute. But I love my club. Like you love your West Ham.
Love my West
through
Ham,
thick bro. And thin.
Yes.
And we will fight to the end and defend our clubs.
So, Majestic Madge, why have you come over to my gaff today? What do you want to discuss?
I want to discuss today that there is a media bias against Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Wow. A Tottenham fan that is upset with the bias that their yep. club is getting. I've never heard this before.
Against us.
Huh? Bro, you know what? I like to set up the arguments in a professional manner. So you're going to get up to 60 seconds on the podium to bring over your points. I'll get 60 seconds. We come back. We hash it out because a media bias against Spurs.
Oh, yes.
All right, let's do this.
I believe that there is a media bias / agenda against Tottenham Hotspur for these reasons, and these reasons alone. First and foremost, the term Spursy, the bottlers. You know, Tottenham Hotspur have been to finals and semi-finals in recent history, which is a good achievement in some aspects, but of course, if you don't get over the line, it's quite upsetting. But the term Spursy, when you look at the way other clubs are treated, for example, Liverpool, they bottled the league when Steven Gerrard slipped, but they weren't called bottle job. It's not called Liverpool-y. Newcastle, the entertainers. There was a programme made about how great they were, even though they lost a 12-point lead against Manchester United in the season that they bottled the Premier League, but they're called the entertainers. If you also look at the way that some of our players are almost poached in the media, the press, there was a whole programme made with Harry Kane and Gary Neville around a golf club, which was almost like an advert for Harry Kane services. And then also, if you look at the way sometimes we're not welcome towards the party, the way Tottenham are talked about in certain instances in the press. These are the reasons why I think there is a media bias against Tottenham Hotspur.
Majestic, my friend, plain old Kev, you made some good points, but here's why I think you are wrong. Start the clock. An unfair bias towards your club. I don't see it, mate. I don't see it. In fact, I'll tell you what I do see. I see your ex-players all over the screens, whether they be on Match of the Day with Gary Lineker, you've got Glenn Hoddle, you've got Jermaine Dennis, you've got Peter Crouch, you've got Robbie Keane. Anytime they speak about Spurs, it's in good light. Yeah, especially Michael Dawson. Yeah, let me tell you about that one. I remember when Jose Mourinho was top of the league in December. Everyone was saying Spurs were going to win the league. Again, very, very positive. Plus, getting criticism, that comes with being a big club. And you guys claim you are a big club, so take it. Just like Liverpool take it when they had a dip when they got players injured last season. Just like Chelsea take it for years. Just like Manchester United have taken it raw since Alex Ferguson has left. And not only that, the smaller clubs, they hardly ever get talking about, bro. But listen, let's talk about it. Kev, Madge, you made some good points there that we're going to discuss. But before we discuss anything, I have to ask you, what do you define as a media bias?
So we could start with the definition of a bias or / agenda is where I'm coming at the angle was. And there was one particular thing, you're laughing, but there's one particular thing that got me onto this. And I thought, I felt this a little bit anyway from fans. There's a lot of fans don't like Spurs, right? You don't like Spurs,
no,
in West Ham. And a lot don't, right? And a lot of fans might say, oh, because you lot think you're better than what you are and all of that. And I've heard some delusional things from Spurs fans myself. As I said, I keep it real. Mm-hmm. Another plug, same old Spurs podcast, SOS. I know what we are, yeah? I know what I expect. So being Spursy and all of that, you know, is a thing. We often fall at the final hurdle. Mm-hmm. But what I really got into this point was when I saw the Newcastle documentary, the Newcastle Entertainers. Now, Newcastle Football Club, I love Newcastle. I love playing there as a DJ. I love going up there. Great people. And that club is part of their town. It's in the centre of the town. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when Newcastle flopped and didn't win the Premier League, they're called the Entertainers, right? Mm. We have an apparent title challenge and we came third in a two-horse race. And then also in a league when Chelsea just ran away with the league, literally from about October, November, again, we flopped. So when I'm seeing a media bias is when I'm seeing Newcastle getting applauded as the Entertainers, yet we're Spursy and we're bottle jobs. So what is it? Is it to bottles? If you don't win something and you fall at the final hurdle, is it, as long as you entertain, that's okay? Or are we bottle jobs? I need, where's the clarity?
Well, I'll tell you, you're definitely bottle jobs. but for real, I hear what you're saying, but this...
How do you go on against Liverpool in
the
FA Cup?
Us as humans, like, because Newcastle have been getting a horrible stuff said to them recently with the takeover and all of that, with Eddie Howe, with the geezer that just signed Woodsy. Like, they've been getting battered. But because...
No, a lot of people have said they want to, let's hope Newcastle can buy who they want. People like Newcastle as a club.
Again, when Newcastle was on that run that you're talking about with Kevin Keegan...
I'd love it if we beat them.
Yes, that time. The whole club was more humble than what Spurs were when they was on their run. So I think for me, it doesn't come to the fact that Spurs get to the final hurdle and then they bottle it or whatever. It's not bottling. You're going for it and you lose, right? But it's the fans. When you're going for it, not so much you. You're my mate and I know you're not one of those unrealistic, deluded Spurs fans, right? But when you're going for it, you lot... And I've talk up the thing, bruv. You lot gas it up a lot.
But aren't West Ham massive at the moment?
I don't say that. We're not saying that. So I'm saying you lot are putting it on us for that. I keep saying that I'll be happy if we finish eighth. And that's a humble person shouldn't say humble like they're humble. You know what I mean? But West Ham as fans, I think we're quite humble. We don't go on like yesterday. One of the guys said to me about, oh, when's the last time you won a trophy? You lot have won one trophy in 30 years. You lot have got to get your head out of the clouds, bruv.
One trophy in 30 years. Where'd you get your stats from?
It's the FA League Cup, right?
We won the FA Cup when I was four.
And we've won 1991?
We've won two League Cups since then. Come on. If you're going to come on your own programme and stand in the home end, get your facts
right. I thought it was 2008, 2009 was the last one, right?
That's the last one, yeah? Not 30 years ago. Not one trophy in 30 years. Sit down.
Point is, if you want to be a part of the big boys, you have to bring more to the table than that. And you lot was talking like you lot are part of the big boys because you finished fourth a couple of times or in the top four.
Again, let's get facts straight, okay? Let's get the facts straight. This is why I'm going to win this debate, okay? Because I'm fantastic and huge and you're not.
Go on.
We are the sixth most successful club in UK domestic history. That's factual, yeah? So when you say big six, to try and sit with the big boys, we are. The way that, like I said, Everton and Villa are big boys, yeah?
I'm here for this.
Right? So they are underachieving because they're the seventh and the eighth. They should be winning. Everton, for example, haven't won anything since 1995. FA Cup, fantastic header against Man United. This is it. But with Tottenham, oh, Spursy, flop, you've not won, I think, in ages. Everyone laughing at
you. You're the sixth most successful club in UK, right, in the UK. Yeah. So the criticism you are getting when you flop is justified. But the real definition of bias is an unfair prejudice mm-hmm. against a person... or a club in this instance, right? Do you feel that people have been unfair in their prejudice to Spurs, bruv? You just told me they're the sixth most successful club in England ever, but they don't win no trophies, bruv. Three, you said, in 30
Three
years?
Three in 30 years, which isn't good enough.
One every 10 years for the sixth most successful club. It doesn't make sense. So it seems to me like the criticism is very, very fair. And my second point I would make is that, I've said it in my little preview earlier, you got the likes of Jermaine Jenas, even Robbie Keane now, Glenn Hoddle. You got all these ex-Spurs that are all over the net and TV. And they're very, very biased. Positively biased.
I think JJ
Spurs.
Is probably the most positive, and big up JJ for that.
Michael Dawson, he goes on like your team is the Man United during the 90s. he's a bit lost, that geezer. I like him.
He's only just got on.
I like his energy.
Bless him.
But for me, that's not unfair.
Listen.
Yeah, gotcha.
You've not got me at all, yeah? Right? Okay, yeah, just because there's some people sometimes, you know, being a bit more pro-Spurs, JJ's probably the most pro-Spurs. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Crouchy might be on TV, for example, but you look at him as a Liverpool player and you look at him as a Crouch as an entity as himself rather than this massive Spurs thing. Whereas, like, you know...
He doesn't criticise, but this is the point. If they're, if, even if they're broke, okay, they might not be broke. They don't criticise.
You go like Gary Neville and Rick Kinsella. Oh, it's just Spurs. All he did was flop, you know, Spursy. Like, it's almost like they lead this agenda. Yeah, okay, that might have been their thing that they said in the dressing room to beat Spurs. Come on, lads, it's only Tottenham. But the way that they push that into the media is like diminishing the value of what Tottenham Hotspur...
That's a part of football, though. Like, okay. They're winding up. I reckon they're winding up, mate.
Yeah,
surely.
Okay, but then there's winding up and then there's also... going out and creating programs with Gary Neville to take your best player away, which was just like a complete circus.
But again,
a very ill-advised circus, I must admit, by Harry. 100%,
he's been getting ill-advised the whole way, it seems, at the moment, Harry Kane. But again, with that, so the criticism that Spurs are getting, like, why would you let the player do that?
My thing is, criticism is allowed, in any kind of competitive sport or competitive thing in life. That's fine. But when it's like... one rule for one and not for another. As I said, why are Everton not, oh, they're flops, or Aston Villa, or these big clubs? No, they don't get as much as us.
But they're not as big a club as yours. That's why you're always going to be at the forefront.
But you can't say, like, Aston Villa aren't. They're European champions. Like,
come on, Kev. Villa to Spurs. Over the, if we're talking the last 10 years, we don't, like, Spurs, for me, are a top four.
Yeah, but as a club, we're talking about a club with history.
That's why Spurs have done well. That's like top, like West Ham now. If we finish fourth, I'm not going to say they're a top four club, although Spurs would. I'm not going to say West Ham are a top four club.
No, we only became a top four club when we consecutively got into the Champions League for those few years that we was there. You know, Spurs are a top...
Should you have kicked on from there?
Absolutely. And this is where criticism from our own fan base towards Daniel Levy. Daniel Levy, I'm coming for you, sir. You're getting it today, right? That's who the criticism should be at.
Madge, Kev, my brother. There's been a lot of complaining from Spurs fans for years, man. For years. And as I was going to say, let me finish this point. When you lot was doing well, we were giving you all of the plaudits, bro. You were crazy. Gareth Bale, we were saying, was best in the world.
You weren't saying that at Upton Park when he got that last goal.
Well, you got, remember, he got two. I went to Upton Park, he got two goals, bro. Top bins, didn't do nothing. But he was, and we give you that. You had Modric, Robbie Keane, your two fullbacks going on when you got under Poch. We gave, they was all in England. Yeah, they was the nucleus of the England team.
The media give them all the plaudits. They go, they've got to go away from Tottenham. They have to leave Tottenham.
Okay, that's another argument.
Yeah, they still have the argument. As I said, they created a programme to take away arguably one of the best British strikers since Jimmy Greaves, one of our own. They created a programme to do it. And because he was so poorly advised, Gary Neville goes, yeah, you know, come to Manchester United, you know, Manchester United, Manchester United. All I heard, that's all I heard. And then Harry goes, yeah, obviously I want to win trophies and yeah, hopefully we do.
Is that modern day poaching?
That's modern day, but it's ridiculous. That is like literally going out for dinner when Ashley Cole went for dinner that time when he moved from Arsenal to Chelsea. But it's on television. It's setting an agenda. You know, I'm quite a spiritual person. You put energy out into the universe and it comes back. Mm-hmm. They put the energy out there. You've got to go. They've all got to go. Every time Spurs come a little bit closer to becoming better, then this media bias that I talk about, try and disrupt it and go, leave. You don't all need to leave. So I just think like this thing that, and it's always like the energy's projected, they're waiting for Tottenham to fail and almost like they're wanting it to. And that's where the agenda for me feels it comes from. That's why, you know, the programmes aren't being made post our flops going, the entertainers.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you've never been the entertainers, but never ever. I don't even know what the Spurs way is, man. I'll be honest with you.
Didn't watch football under Pochettino?
Get Fat Gazza on the ball, let him dribble past everyone, score a goal against Nottingham Forest. That's all I remember about Spurs. Or Darren Anderton being injured.
Darren Anderton, the most capped Spurs player in the Premier League. Yeah? Put some respect on Darren Anderton's name. I don't want to hear sick note anymore.
Nah,
the most
player.
Great player. Until Lloris, he was the most capped Premier League footballer for Tottenham.
You know what it is, brother? It seems to me like you lot want to be a big club, but you don't want to get the criticism that a big club gets because it comes with it. Look at United. Over the years, they've been a laughing stock. And in that time, they've won FA Cup, Europa Cup, finished second in the league.
Jose, and they hated him.
And they hated him. You know what I mean? So we criticise these big clubs, and I think it's like the Mayweather factor where once you get to a certain level, and Conor McGregor to an extent, everyone wants you to lose. When you're the best, they want you to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love an underdog. Especially over here, we love an underdog.
With Manchester United, there's a level of expectation. Mm-hmm. They are one of the biggest clubs in the world. Yes. That's factual. And no football fan can argue with that. And they should be competing at the highest level. I looked at their squad this year and thought they were going to go for the league.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought most of us did. You know, some of the people that have brought in, you look at the names, but again, it just becomes names rather than it being a team, yeah? And that's why, big up to West Ham and David Moyes. The argument is, could David Moyes have more time at Manchester United? Who 100%. Knows? Who knows what would have happened, that was, right?
That's why Fergie picked him, because he knew he builds projects. Yes. But in this day and age,
there's no such thing as a building a project. So, Manchester United. But what happens with United is, if it goes well for them in one game, it all changes.
Yeah.
Like, for example, they beat Burnley 3-1. Big respect to Burnley. Yeah, beat Aaron Lennon as well, scoring. I love that.
Unfair bias there to Burnley.
Yeah, right. Daishi won't have it. Listen, I eat nails every day for breakfast. Right. So the thing is, they won that game. Was like, oh, I see Manchester United 100% getting top four. I'm like, based on what? Mm-hmm. They beat Burnley. Mm-hmm. Like, 3-1 at home. So you should beat Burnley. You're Man United.
Start of the season, Arsenal fans were getting it. They lost to Brentford. They were getting it. In fact, they've been getting it for years, right?
A lot of memes going around the bottom of the table and all that.
And now, the Jet Black Prince, yeah, Arteta, has pulled it together and they're looking like a proper team. You know what I mean? So it's like, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. He's getting praise now. They're saying he's Pep reincarnated. But at the start of the season, he was shocking. You know more than anyone, this is what happens in life, let alone football. You know what I mean? So
especially
I think
in the
more with you guys, you got to take the rough with the smooth. I don't think you take the rough good enough. And that's what upsets other fans. Because when it's down for you lot are moaning. When it's up for you lot are like, we're the best. It's got to be a medium, I think.
Balance is everything. Balance. You're correct, yeah. And Arsenal, in fairness, have received a lot of criticism post-Wenger.
I think deservedly, to be honest with you. Like, it's the fan bases that create this mess. When West Ham was doing well a few years back with Slav,
yes,
and then we started setting up, there's a lot more podcasts come out, you saw the West Ham fans, bloody hell. Glad those channels got taken down. But anyway, we started getting criticism because we thought we was a bit Billy Big Bollocks, you know what I mean? So we've quietened down. We understand who we are. We understand we've got the best midfielder in the world right now in Declan Rice.
He's very good.
Amazing. But we understand he can get taken from us.
But brilliant point to bring up Declan Rice, yeah? There isn't this huge media agenda against West Ham at the moment to go, Declan Rice, if he wants to get his career, wants to move on, he
there's
has to
loads
leave.
Of that,
no,
mate.
That's not every game.
West Ham fans, please, in the comments, come on, man.
Right, no, West Ham fans will get in the comments, I can see, and they'll be like, yeah, because you're tapped in, yeah? Because we're tapped into our clubs, we can feel everything a lot more, yeah? But it isn't, like, at the end of the game, when you go and, like, beat Norwich or someone, no one sits there going, it's brilliant for Declan Rice, but, you know, he should be looking for the moves. I don't see it on the telly, at least, right?
It's maybe not as much.
It's not as prevalent.
You're right. And it's because we're not big. Like, they want to see the big clubs get moved around.
I'm waiting for the Declan Rice goes ice hockey with Gary Neville at the end of the season, and then we'll come back here and talk. Declan Rice, you love ice hockey. You know, I love ice hockey. Let's talk about leaving.
Brother, they won't do that because we've got a Mark Noble. We've got a proper skipper. That if you get your phone out in the car on a car journey, he tells you to put it away. We don't do phones here. Let's talk. Let's do things like we used to do, bro. Let's interact. You lot ain't got that at Spurs. You know what? Once again, Spurs has dominated the chat because they're a big club. but I want to talk about the smaller clubs, like that I feel do well, like the Brentfords. Doing okay. Even if they're not doing well, just the smaller clubs, do you have to do super well to get some sort of praise or sort of press?
How many people are talking about Brighton? A lot. A lot of people are talking about Brighton.
Not enough.
Well, enough.
Not enough. What are they? Eighth, ninth?
Yeah, enough that people are looking at Graham Potter and going, hang about, this is a top manager here. And people are looking at him and going,
they're saying they're going to take Graham Potter.
Yeah, okay.
Same like we've done with Harry Kane, same like we're doing with Declan Rice as a part of football. But the smaller clubs that haven't got a Daniel Levy that can say, well, you ain't going nowhere. Their players get gone, bruv.
I think we're seeing that less now
in
the Premier League. I think that's because the financial situation is changing and other clubs are competing, you know? You know, look, you say about smaller clubs, for example, like Crystal Palace, for example, you know, I think under Vieira, I think they're going to be able to grow. And I think there's something to be said about just moving in silence is actually a good thing. Yeah, okay, some of the smaller clubs might not get talked as much. But I kind of think I'd prefer that because then you're not in the spotlight all the time to be told you're Spursy, you're bottle jobs, you ain't want nothing in this long. When in actual fact, if let's bring Everton up to the table, hang about, Everton are a massive club.
Mm-hmm.
Aston Villa, massive club. These are massive clubs in terms of what they've won. Nottingham Forest, you know.
You've brought it to Nottingham Forest.
European champions.
Years ago. This is the Spurs way, man. You lot talk about... It wasn't even called the Champions League, bro.
It was the European Cup.
Yeah, okay? Man. That's a different
cup. Put some respect on Clough's name.
Different cup. It's like West Ham when they won the World Cup 96. But listen...
it's such a West Ham
you mentioned something. See, them West Ham fans that do that, they're the ones that can get criticised. And talking of the smaller teams and their suffering, and I used to feel this as a West Ham fan back in the day, not as much now because we're pushing up the league, but so most teams, all teams are guaranteed a 12 million.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were one of the top teams, you can get up to 30 million, which is like 18 million more than the other teams. Plus the media coverage, the extra media coverage. Usually when Norwich or someone like that's in the media, it's because they've been tumped 6-0. You see when you do brand deals, when the brands link up with teams, it's not usually Norwich or Crystal Palace or these smaller teams, so fans don't get to see their players as much. For me, being a smaller club, not Spurs, that for me is a bias towards them that we need to sort out, bruv. Forget about Spurs. We need to start looking after the likes of Burnley, bruv. Looking after Burnley.
I like it.
Yeah?
Well, boo-hoo.
What do you think on that, though?
Boo-hoo.
No, I can't.
I'm going to give you a boo-hoo.
That's legit.
Go to the Spanish league and ask how the smaller teams are feeling out there, because I tell you what, in comparison, the Premier League's pretty fair.
I remember after five games this season, poor old Norwich, they weren't doing too well, and the press ripped them off, said they're getting relegated with 33 games to go. Now, you know in football, it ain't over till it's over, right? Is that not unfair? And that happens all the time with these teams. All the time.
Well, I think with Norwich, it's a case that because they've been bouncing up and down the league for the last few years, and you look at the business that they did in the summer, selling Buendia, you know, they had Oliver Skip on loan from us.
Mm-hmm.
They moved into the Premier League and hadn't improved. So within five games, when they start losing in the fashion that they were, you could say that was justified to a degree because they're not kicking on, right? And okay, and with Norwich, it's like, well, you've come into the Premier League. It's just like that's their sort of business model to come up and down. And so they were criticised, yeah, unjustly, because there's 33 games to go. There's a lot. But I think with Norwich, it's like, it's negative, but that's their talking point on Norwich at that point in time, because it's just like, hang about, we've seen this before. It's going to happen again.
Stop.
Spurs.
Exactly.
Right? Spursy.
Same thing.
Yeah, okay. However,
you get to a certain level, then it's like, you know what, Spurs, go and buy that striker, go and spend 100 million, or not that much back then, but then you get rid of Carl Walker, you get rid of your other fullback. Like,
again, then this brings us back to the media bias of, we're getting to a point where, hang about, we're going to become quite dangerous here. We might be sitting at the top six table properly. Nah, he needs to leave that club. If they want to get better, he needs to go. They need to go. It's never like, there was no counter-arguments of the reasons why Harry Kane should stay at Tottenham. Right, for example, like I always bring it back to that Gary Neville interview or other things. Reasons why Harry Kane should stay at Tottenham. That's not, he should go to Manchester. Hang about, Harry Kane, you was playing in the European Cup final, yeah? In actual fact, you took the place of the geezer that scored a hat-trick in the semi-final to get us there, and you arguably weren't fit. Harry Kane, you've been part of the failure. So just to go to Manchester City because you're guaranteed a trophy, because Man City are going to guarantee to win something because they've got so much money that they can do that, that's what we're going to applaud. Well done for that.
So you admit that you lot have failed.
Huh?
The criticism is just.
No, it's not just, because I always bring it back to the same point of, I'm looking at the peers, Newcastle United, who are a big football club, the entertainers. That is, my whole point will come back round to that documentary.
I think that one season, they were the entertainers.
Okay.
Man United 5-0 when, chips over Smike. When
we,
centre-halves.
When we, the final year at White Hart Lane, we went unbeaten at White Hart Lane. Played great football under Pochettino.
And
great
those football. Entertainers
yeah.
bottled it.
Huh? But we was never top. This is the thing. How can I lose something if I'm never in possession of it? Okay?
Good.
Newcastle, January, 12 points clear.
Something will happen with your team, whether it be a loss, a player walking around the golf course, lasagna, whatever it is, and you'll always have to exaggerate. Oh, they're saying this because no one wants us in the party. Da-da-da-da-da. Bro, start winning, start getting some trophies, start showing us you can compete consistently, and it will drop. The bias will drop, if there is any. Madge, mate, you've made some good points. You've made some good points, especially the point about Newcastle being called the entertainers after such a bad fall. Talking of fools, Steven Gerrard slipping and them not getting any criticism for that. So you make some good points, but for me, the criticism Spurs gets is just, you know what I mean? They're a top four team, as you said to me. They're the sixth most successful team in the Premier League history. Or is it?
UK domestic.
So for me, the criticism is just. So yeah, today, mate, you have not changed my mind. In fact, I've got some advice for you. And that, my friend, is toughen up. Trust me, not you, because you're a tough bruv. But the Spurs fans, toughen up. But anyway, as always, I want to hear what the people in the comments have to say. Do you think Majestic's correct? Is there an unfair bias towards Tottenham Hotspurs? Or should they just toughen up? Leave your comments below. As always, this has been In Defence Of with me, Steve-O the Madman, brought to you by Joe and BetBall with Majestic. Until next time, ta-da. You've been listening to In Defence Of, brought to you by Joe and BetBall.